This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Wednesday, September 12th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
Hurricane Florence continues its relentless march toward the East Coast.
The federal government considers an investigation into Google, Facebook, and Twitter.
Apple unveils its latest iPhones, iPads, and watches ahead of the holiday shopping season.
President Trump's former campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, is reportedly in talks for a plea deal. Plus, a new poll is bad news for President Trump. I'm Michael Barr. More straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Jacob DeGrom once again pitched well but couldn't win. Mets lost to the Marlins. The Yankees gave up 10 runs and lost in Minnesota.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by USCF. Invest in what's real. Visit uscfinvestments.com. That's uscfinvestments.com.
U.S. futures and European equities are gaining after stocks in Asia fell for the 10th straight day. 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 1.5 points. Dow futures up 16. NASDAQ futures up 15. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. CAC in Paris up 0.5%, FTSE 100 down 0.2%, Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 0.3%, so did the Hang Seng in Hong Kong, 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 2.95%, yield on the 2-year 2.73%, NYMEX crude oil up 0.8%, or 54 cents at $69.79 a barrel, COMEX gold little changed at $1,201.90 an ounce. The euro, $1.1593, the yen, 111.45, and this update brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Bob.
Hurricane Florence continues its relentless march toward North Carolina. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn joins us now with the latest. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Bob and Karen. The storm is located about 575 miles southeast of Cape Fear, North Carolina, moving towards the west-northwest at 17 miles an hour, has sustained winds of 130 miles an hour. That makes it a Category 4 hurricane. Looks very, very impressive on the satellite photos this morning, and it may strengthen a little bit more today. We'll see if it makes a run into Category 5. As it gets closer to the North Carolina coast Thursday night and Friday, there is the potential for a little bit of weakening, but it's still going to be a very significant storm as it heads towards North Carolina. Could produce anywhere from 15 to 35 inches of rain.
Rob, once the storm makes landfall, what should the East Coast expect then?
Well, the question is whether or not the storm makes landfall initially, Bob. Some of the computer models are suggesting that as it approaches Cape Fear on Friday, it's going to stall. In fact, some of those models then kind of drifted along the coast of South Carolina, bringing it inland over South Carolina over the weekend. The Hurricane Center still has a forecast of it moving inland, but that track is going to have to be watched very closely because it could bring rains excessive not only to North and South Carolina, but Georgia.
Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn, he will have the latest through the morning on Hurricane Florence. Thank you, Rob.
Farmers in the region are racing to make preparations for the storm, Bloomberg's Alan Bierga reports.
This area is not one of the necessarily largest crop-producing regions in the country, but what you see is a lot of poultry production, a lot of hog production, a lot of agricultural infrastructure. Smithfield just announced that they feel like they're prepared for this, but when you take a look at the weather forecast of how severe this storm may be, you have to wonder if there's any infrastructure that will be able to withstand the impact that may be having in the next few days.
Oil prices are also gaining ahead of the storm, which threatens to disrupt fuel supplies. Checking prices now, NYMEX crude oil up 0.8% or 54 cents at $69.79 a barrel.
More than 5.4 million people in the region are under hurricane warnings or watches. Insurers like Hartford Financial and FM Global are already sending staff to the area to help with anticipated claims. Some airports could start closing runways as soon as tonight, and corporations in the path of the storm are shutting factories.
Still on the West Coast, it's business as usual for companies like Apple, which kicks off a blitz of new products for the holiday shopping season today. Greg Jarrett has the details from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Through the rest of 2018, the world's most valuable public company, that would be Apple, will launch 3 new iPhones, revamped iPad Pros, Apple Watches with larger screens, a new entry-level laptop with a sharper screen, a pro-focused Mac mini desktop computer, and new accessories like the AirPower wireless charger. Those product launches will begin today in the Steve Jobs Theater at the company's Apple Park headquarters in Cupertino. In San Francisco, I'm Greg Jarrett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Greg. While smartphone market growth has slowed, higher prices have helped Apple keep expanding. Loop Ventures co-founder and Apple analyst Gene Munster expects that trend to continue.
This is going to be an extremely expensive phone. We're talking about a starting point of $1,200, so it's not going to be their most popular phone. But I think it will drive ASPs higher and also kind of signal the company's power that they have to capture most of the dollar share within the smartphone market.
We will bring you live special coverage of that Apple event today at 1 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
The federal government is considering an investigation targeting Google, Facebook, and Twitter. We get details from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions is exploring a formal inquiry into the companies and will be briefed on September 25th by Republican state attorneys general who are already doing their own examinations aimed at giving Sessions information on whether there's a federal case to be made against Google, Facebook, and Twitter for violating consumer or antitrust laws. The issue is one that the president has brought up, saying that conservative points of view are being targeted by those companies. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ed, thank you. Shifting overseas now, we have developments on the Brexit front, including a timeline for when the UK and EU could sign a deal. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Bob and Karen. The UK and the European Union preparing for a special summit to sign the Brexit deal in November. Bloomberg sources saying that the meeting could be announced within days. That comes amid more positive attitude from Europe. Jean-Claude Juncker saying that he welcomes Prime Minister May's proposal on EU partnership, but May is facing a renewed threat from inside her own party at home. Pro-Brexit Tories are said to have spent several hours plotting to oust her on Tuesday night because they think she's betraying their vision of a clean break from the EU. But those talks broke up without a decision on a plan of action. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you. S&P futures at this hour up by 2 points. That is a little less than a tenth of 1%. Stay with us for the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg. And that brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. The president's former campaign boss back in the news, Bloomberg's Michael Barr now with that and more. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Days before jury selection is set to begin in Paul Manafort's second trial, President Trump's former campaign chairman is reportedly in talks about a possible plea deal. According to the Washington Post, two people with knowledge of the matter say the negotiations may not result in a deal with special counsel Robert Mueller. Manafort is facing money laundering and lobbying violations charges. The economy may be strong, but a new poll shows President Trump is unpopular. According to a Bloomberg analysis of polling data, Trump is the first president dating back to Ronald Reagan, whose approval rating is consistently low and lagging economic sentiment. New Hampshire will have either its first openly gay congressman or first black representative. Chris Pappas won the Democratic nomination in the first district. Pappas will face Republican nominee and Navy veteran Eddie Edwards.
To me, being a Navy veteran, being a law enforcement officer, you take your commitment seriously because people depend on you. And for me, I don't want to look people in their eyes and come back and say, you let us down. You did something you said you wouldn't do.
Pappas and Edwards are vying to replace retiring Democratic Congresswoman Carol Shea Porter. Today, Rhode Island will hold its congressional primary elections. New York holds its primary for governor and attorney general tomorrow. U.S. officials say Syrian President Assad has received a clear warning about using chemical weapons on the last rebel stronghold in Syria. Speaking to reporters at the Pentagon, Defense Secretary James Mattis said Assad is still hurting from the last round of airstrikes.
The first time around, he lost 17% of his pointy-nosed Air Force airplanes. He's been warned, and so we'll see if he's wise enough.
European lawmakers are poised to vote for the first time to use the European Union's strictest sanctions mechanism to stop the erosion of democracy in Hungary. Bloomberg's Zoltan Simon has more from Strasbourg, France.
Prime Minister Viktor Orban predicted on Tuesday that EU lawmakers would muster the two-thirds majority needed in the Assembly for the measure that may ultimately lead to the suspension of Hungary's vote in the bloc. Orban has called the measure blackmail to force him to change his anti-immigrant stance in Strasbourg, France. Zoltan Simon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. It is now 6:09 on Wall Street. That's time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. And along comes John Steshower.
Morning, Bob. 2.5 weeks to go in the regular season. The goal for the Yankees is clear. Finish ahead of the Oakland A's. So when they face the A's in the one-game wildcard playoff game, it'll be in the Bronx, not Oakland. Last night, Yanks lost. A's won. Yankee lead down to 2 games, a 10-5 loss at Minnesota. This is why Sonny Gray was taken out of the starting rotation. He was put back in for one night, and Aaron Boone had to take him out after 3 innings.
I thought he just struggled he made a big pitch to get out of the second inning, but then, had those hitters where he'd just fall behind with a couple hitters, and it was just kind of work all night long to really get back in and kind of find that real good command.
Bullpen struggled as well. Jonathan Loaisiga gave up 6 runs. Tommy Canley served up a grand slam to Joe Mauer. The Yanks trailed 10-1. They did make it closer with a D.D. Gregorius grand slam. Citi Field, more of the same for Jacob deGrom. He pitched well. Major League record 26th consecutive start where deGrom allowed no more than 3 runs. As usual, the Mets didn't score any runs on his behalf. He left with the Marlins ahead 2-1. They went on to win 5-3. Here's DeGrom.
Yeah, that's frustrating. Like I said, they put some good at-bats against me there and found a couple holes. Anderson up the middle, who was next, Dietrich, blooped that ball over third, and then felt like I made the pitch I wanted to, just got beat. He beat me to the spot and hit a ball off the wall. So, yeah, it's frustrating, but that's baseball.
DeGrom's got a major league best 1.71 ERA, but his record is 8-9. In Boston, Chris Sale's first start in a month went just 1 inning. Red Sox won their 99th game. They clinched the playoff berth. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stanshower. Bob?
Thanks, Sean. Advantage Women, the controversial U.S. Open final between Serena Williams and winner Naomi Osaka, drew 50% more viewers than the men's final. ESPN says the women's match averaged 3.1 million viewers, the best rating in the 4 years ESPN has been airing the tournament. And a sports update brought to you by Investors Bank. Business wins here. Connect your team with the experts at Investors Bank for business solutions to move your business forward. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 6:17 on Wall Street. And Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Hurricane Florence is expected to strengthen as it heads towards the East Coast. It could make landfall tomorrow, triggering catastrophic flash flooding and a storm surge of 13 feet. Justin Trudeau is ready to offer the US limited access to Canada's dairy market to help the NAFTA negotiations. That's according to Reuters, which says the concession is similar to one Canada agreed to in trade deals with EU and Pacific Rim nations. Russia's energy minister says there's room for the country to add another 300,000 barrels a day of crude output within a year if more supply is needed. That would take output to a post-Soviet record. And Apple unveils new products today, including 3 new iPhones and Apple Watches with larger screens. Other product releases come later this year, including revamped iPads and a new entry-level laptop. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, Hannah, thank you. S&P futures are up a point now, trimming their gains a bit. Dow futures up 10, NASDAQ futures up 14. The DAX in Germany's up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 2.96%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.73%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.8% or 54 cents at $69.78 a barrel. COMEX gold is at $1,201.60 an ounce, little change, down 60 cents. The euro, $1.1590, the yen, 111.47. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump is once again defending his administration's handling of Hurricane Maria, calling the recovery effort in Puerto Rico an unsung success. The island's government recently raised the death toll from the storm to nearly 3,000 people. President Vladimir Putin says Russia has identified the two men that Britain named as suspects in the poisoning of former Russian spy Sergei Skripal and his daughter. According to Russia, there is nothing criminal about them. In baseball, the Yankees lost and are only 2 games ahead of the A's in the wild card race. Oakland beat the Orioles 3-2. The Mets lost along with the Giants. The Red Sox clinched the playoff spot. The Nationals won a doubleheader. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence. Valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
And at 6:20 on Wall Street, let's talk all things Apple. Bloomberg Intelligence research analyst Matt Canterman watches Apple for us and is joining us now. While we don't normally lead off with product announcements, Tim Cook and company are in a class by themselves. So let me start with full disclosure here. I saw you just a moment ago thumbing through that iPhone, is that?
My iPhone 10, and I probably will be upgrading to the iPhone, whatever they're going to call it, but it's probably going to be called the iPhone XS that's coming out today.
So you're going to spend all that extra money on a new phone.
So it's actually interesting. The wireless carriers in the U.S., you can actually rent them now. And so you never actually own it. So you don't actually pay full price. And every time a new one comes out, you just walk in, you hand it in, you get the next one. It's good for the carriers because it keeps you with them. It's good for Apple because it keeps you upgrading. It seems to work for everyone.
And that price, that is an important thing for Apple right now with the smartphone market maturing.
For sure. And the fact that, you know, the iPhone 10 starts at $1,000, the 10S Plus, the big version, is going to even start at a higher price than that. You know, you need ways to make it more affordable, and being able to pay it off monthly or even less than that really makes it more affordable, helps grow the reach of those devices and help drive unit sales. And at the end of the day, Apple's shipping 225 million iPhones a year. Everyone that has an iPhone, I mean, wants an iPhone, pretty much has an iPhone at this point. They need to find ways to slowly grow their user base, increase prices, and grow their services business.
Now, when we talk about the new iPhone, this is going to be an incremental upgrade, right? It's not a brand new phone.
Right, and that's why it's an S and not the iPhone 11, because it's going to have the same form factor as the iPhone 10. There will be a bigger version of it, which I will probably get my hands on. I like the big form factor myself. But yeah, I mean, there won't be too much new hardware, better processor, better graphics chip for gaming.
Why do that then? Why upgrade for the extra cost?
You know, I mean, for a lot of people, you know, smartphones, they've been holding onto their phone for 2, 3, 4 years now, and it's just time for them. For some people like me that are just junkies, we just want the shiniest new toy in the store. And just for a lot of people, you know, there's plans that incentivize them to upgrade, so they will.
So when we talk about the iPhone, is that the product still for Apple, or is there anything coming along, anything that they are more focused upon?
So Apple's still the iPhone company, but they are trying to diversify, and services is a big focus for them. So they have things like the watch and the iPad that are all small that collectively are still, you know, nowhere near the size of the iPhone and probably will never get there. But services is a big opportunity, and a big part of that is the App Store. And so being able to monetize the almost a billion device user base that they have through the App Store. Apple gets a 30% commission on every dollar spent. So if you think about mobile gaming's on pace to be a $100 billion business. A big portion of that is done on iOS devices, and Apple gets 30% of it. And so in the last year, you know, 73% of iOS App Store sales were games. And so when you just think about the rise of mobile gaming, the shift to more advanced, more complex mobile gaming experiences, that all bodes well for Apple. If you look at the phenomenon of Fortnite, you know, all the money that's being spent on Fortnite, it's something like $8 million a week on a net basis. That's after Apple's commission. You know, that all flows through right to Apple's bottom line because there's very little cost to Apple for that revenue.
You know, let me ask you this. I noticed that it used to be when Steve Jobs used to make these announcements, there was a lot of mystery surrounding it. Now we seem to know what's going to be in these new units already. Is there a chance for a big surprise?
It's unlikely at this point. The Apple's success, because they've been so successful with the iPhone, means they have so many suppliers, and there's just so much more room for leaks in this day and age versus, you know, the first device where there was very few of the units made at a time. And so we're just at a point where it's very hard for Apple to surprise anymore.
Our thanks to Matt Canterman. He watches Apple for Bloomberg Intelligence as a research analyst. And let's take a forward look at the markets now. S&P futures currently up by 2 points, less than a tenth of 1%. Dow futures up 16 points. NASDAQ futures higher by 15 points. That is 0.2%. 10-year Treasury prices up 4/32. The yield at 2.9608%. West Texas Intermediate crude this morning is up by 1% to $69.93 a barrel. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg Radio. Daybreak brought to you by Burton Accountants and Advisors. If you're a family-owned or privately held company looking for tax savings and to grow your business, team up with the professionals at Burton. Visit burtonllp.com/radio.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning to you. It is 6:30 on Wall Street. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Oil is extending gains near $70 a barrel as Hurricane Florence threatens to disrupt fuel supplies. Checking crude right now, NYMEX crude oil is up 0.8% or 58 cents at $69.83 a barrel. We'll have updates on the track of the hurricane all morning with Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolin.
U.S. futures and European averages are higher, but the MSCI Asia Pacific Index dropped for a 10th consecutive day. That's the longest losing streak since 2002.
Apple unveils its latest products today at the Steve Jobs Theater in Cupertino, California. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett reports.
The company will unveil its renewed iPhone strategy at the event. It is planning three new models that look like the iPhone X, including a refresh to the flagship device, a larger premium model, and a larger, cheaper model that comes in different colors. The iPhone accounts for about two-thirds of the company's revenue. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And we'll bring you special live coverage of that Apple event today at 1 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions is open to the idea of investigating social media companies. Bloomberg has learned that Sessions will be briefed September 25th by Republican state attorneys general who already are looking into the company's practices.
Meanwhile, Alphabet's Google, Twitter, Facebook, and other tech firms could be slapped with fines as high as 4% of annual revenue if they fail to remove terror propaganda from their sites quickly enough under a new European Union proposal unveiled today.
And the UK and the European Union plan a summit in November to sign the Brexit deal. Bloomberg has learned that the meeting could be announced within days. And it is now 6:32 on Wall Street. That is time for your Volatility Index report. The VIX fell yesterday to close at 13.22. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently a little bit lower at 13.17. That's this morning's Volatility report.
And futures, they're higher. S&P futures, little changed, up a point. Dow futures up 11. NASDAQ futures up 13. The DAX in Germany's up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 2.96%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.73%. COMEX gold is little changed. It's down 40 cents at $1,201.80 an ounce. The euro this morning is at $1.1593, the British pound $1.3026, and the yen at 111.47. Watching Bitcoin, it's little changed at $6,252. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. A hurricane update now from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. The National Hurricane Center says Hurricane Florence is expected to bring life-threatening storm surges and rainfall to portions of the Carolinas and mid-Atlantic states. President Trump, while alongside the head of FEMA, sounded the warning.
They haven't seen anything like what's coming at us in 25, 30 years, maybe ever. It's tremendously big and tremendously wet.
The Navy has ordered all 30 ships based at Norfolk, Virginia, out to sea. The storm is centered less than 600 miles southeast of Cape Fear, North Carolina, moving at 17 miles per hour. President Trump's former campaign chairman is reportedly in talks with prosecutors about a possible plea deal just before his second trial. According to the Washington Post's report about Paul Manafort, people who have knowledge of the negotiations say the discussions may not result in a deal with Special Counsel Robert Mueller. Manafort is accused of money laundering and lobbying violations. Two key figures in Bob Woodward's new book about Trump administration dysfunction are speaking out. Bloomberg's Nathan Hager has more from Washington.
In separate statements, former White House economic advisor Gary Cohn and ex-staff secretary Rob Porter call Woodward's book Fear inaccurate, though they don't name any specific mistakes. The book includes several episodes in which White House officials, including Cohn and Porter, tried to stop the president from making sudden, drastic changes to trade policy. In his statement, Porter doesn't explicitly deny keeping Trump from signing documents, but he does say that suggesting materials were stolen from his desk misunderstands how the White House document review process works. In Washington, I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Radio.
Ireland's Prime Minister Leo Varadkar said the EU and UK could reach a deal on a Brexit withdrawal agreement within weeks. Bloomberg's Peter Flanagan has more from Dublin.
In the latest sign of optimism around the so-called divorce talks, Varadkar's comments echoed those of EU chief negotiator Michel Barnier that a deal could be done within 8 weeks or so. Avoiding a so-called hard border between Northern Ireland and the Irish Republic is the main stumbling block in the talks, and EU officials are exploring how to unlock a wider Brexit deal by making the so-called Irish border backstop more palatable to the UK. In Dublin, Peter Flanagan, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update now, brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. Not a good night for the Yankees. The lowly Twins had twice as many runs as the Yankees had hits. A 10-5 rout. Sonny Gray got a rare start, took the loss. Jonathan Loaisiga followed Gray, gave up 6 runs. This game was over by the fifth inning when Joe Mauer hit a grand slam off Tommy Kahnle to put Minnesota up 10-1. For the Yanks, D.D. Gregorius tripled and scored, later had a grand slam of his own, but the Yanks had only 3 other hits. Aaron Boone says a loss to the Twins is unacceptable.
This is, you know, the time where we got to start playing up to our capabilities and putting our best foot forward every single day. You know, we come off a game yesterday where, you know, we really bust out, get a really well-pitched game, and then come out here, you know, another chance, have a guy on the ropes a little bit early, and we gotta finish the deal.
Only 2 games ahead of Oakland in the race for home field in their playoff game. Will Jacob DeGrom win the National League Cy Young Award? If it's based on earned run average, he will. DeGrom's ERA 1.71. The next closest is the Phillies' Aaron Nola, 2.29. But because the Mets never score runs for DeGrom, his record, just 8-9, happened again last night. DeGrom set a major league record, 26 consecutive starts without giving up as many as 4 runs, but he left after 7 innings with the Marlins ahead 2-1, and they went on to win 5-3. Mickey Callaway knows who he would vote for.
He's been by far the best in Major League Baseball at it. If you put both leagues together, he should win the Cy Young out of both leagues, in my mind, because he's preventing runs better than anybody else in Major League Baseball.
Mets and Marlins have a doubleheader today. Carlos Ramos tells a newspaper in Portugal he has no regrets. Ramos was the chair umpire who penalized Serena Williams in the U.S. Open Final. He'll be in the chair this week for the U.S. against Croatia in the Davis Cup. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
Thank you, John. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
In Eastern Europe, populist governments are flouting democratic norms and daring Brussels to stop them. The EU's leaders must respond to the threat of illiberalism, but they should be careful not to overreach. The government of Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban presents the most immediate challenge. Since 2010, Orban has pursued laws that stifle independent media and consolidate his control of the judiciary. He's echoed anti-Semitic themes and demonized NGOs that he considers disloyal. A parliamentary rebuke of Orban is certainly justified, but the EU's power to alter the internal policies of member states is limited. Rather than isolate Poland and Hungary, Brussels should focus on containing their influence by tying future EU budget appropriations to governments' adherence to the rule of law. Orban and his allies are betting that they can push the boundaries of acceptable norms and still reap the benefits of belonging to the EU. It's time to disabuse them. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. President Trump's tweets could actually save someone's life. A terror suspect who allegedly drove a truck onto a New York bike path last October, killing 8 people. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Shortly after the incident, President Trump tweeted, "The suspect should receive the death penalty and the punishment should be carried out quickly." Defense attorneys say it's not his place to seek the death penalty.
The defendant argues there's too much improper influence over the attorney general.
Bloomberg Law's Jordan Rubin says the court is being asked to take action.
Either the death penalty should just be outright precluded, or there should be a special prosecutor to make the call independently of the attorney general.
A ruling could come next month. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Nancy. It is now 6:39 on Wall Street. That's time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. Pits used to store toxic waste from power plants. Lagoons full of pig manure. Those are among the increased risks to the environment posed by the likely destructive path of Hurricane Florence. Flooding could unleash toxic waste left from power plants. Duke Energy Corporation was ordered 2 years ago to clean up coal ash ponds in North Carolina that pose risks to the environment and public health. Duke came under pressure to address coal ash storage after about 39,000 tons spilled in 2014 from a pond near the North Carolina community of Eden. The company has begun work at several high-risk sites, but it won't be done in time for the storm, leaving the sites vulnerable to spills. The state is also a major producer of poultry and hogs and man-made lagoons, lined earthen pits that hold their waste until it can be used to fertilize crops. Also could be at risk of overflowing into fields and nearby waterways, possibly contaminating drinking water supplies. And that's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. S&P futures up a single point. Daybreak is brought to you by the accounting and advisory firm Eisner Amper. Are you experiencing tax turbulence like most businesses? For a tax diagnostic and to connect to resources you need, visit EisnerAmper.com/tax turbulence.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. And futures this morning are little change to higher. We go to the First Word Breaking News Desk. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are quiet right now. Dow futures up 9 points. S&P's gain a point, and NASDAQ futures rise by 13. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.96%, and Asia markets were lower overnight. Well, European markets are trading mixed this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, the producer price index, and at 2 o'clock, U.S. Federal Reserve releases its beige book. In deal news, GE's plane leasing unit is said to draw takeover interest from Singapore's sovereign wealth fund. And in other news, Southwest Airlines cut its forecast for Q3 capacity, and Apple is expected to announce 3 new iPhones and Apple Watches with larger screens at today's event. Wrapping things up, Chevron was upgraded to buy at HSBC. Micron and Lam Research were both downgraded to neutral at Goldman Sachs. Tiffany upgraded to outperform at Oppenheimer, and NXP Semi was cut to sell over at Stifel. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thank you, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Hurricane Florence is steadily making its way to the U.S. East Coast. The storm was centered less than 600 miles southeast of Cape Fear, North Carolina. The Category 4 storm is forecast to strengthen today. In New Hampshire's primary, Eddie Edwards won the Republican nomination in the 1st Congressional District. If Edwards wins in November, he'll be the state's first black congressman. Edwards will face Democratic nominee Chris Pappas, who would be the state's first openly gay congressman if he wins. Rhode Island's primary is today. In baseball, the Yankees lost and are only 2 games ahead of the A's in the wild card race because Oakland beat the Orioles 3-2. The Mets lost along with the Giants. The Red Sox clinched a playoff spot. The Nationals won a doubleheader. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, how do nerds have fun? The South China Morning Post reports students dining at a canteen in China's Nanjing University of Aeronautics and Astronautics had to solve a complex calculus equation to get the Wi-Fi password. However, a cafeteria manager told Longhu.net the staff just wanted to play a joke on the Brainiacs. Bob, the answer was the first digits of pi, of course. All those silly gooses.
You know, how many times have the IT nerds of the world warned us, don't use the first digits of pi for your password?
I would just give them a hot foot, but that's another story altogether.
Here's a snap quiz. First digits of pi?
3.14.
Oh, you had it written down.
Darn tootin', because I knew you were going to ask.
Okay.
Global News, 24 hours a day on air. And at TikTok on Twitter, CB Prepared. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
You're on to me now. It is now 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Today's agenda in our nation's capital includes President Trump holding an event with supporters in D.C., the Senate Banking Committee holding a hearing on Russia sanctions, and CBO Director Keith Hall testifying before the Senate Budget Committee. Meantime, trade talks between the U.S. and Canada stretch on. Joining us with the latest on negotiations is Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. So, Kathleen, where do things stand now?
Well, Canada's Foreign Affairs Minister, Chrystia Freeland, said that there continues to be goodwill on both sides. So basically, it sounds like the talks are continuing and there's some optimism, as we've discussed several times, that they could bridge the gap. But it sounds like there are still some serious issues remaining. They're still at odds over a lot of issues related to dairy and anti-dumping and a lot of the things that have come up in the past. But I think they're continuing to talk, and that's certainly a good sign.
Okay, and as those talks continue, Canada is asking for reforms at the World Trade Organization. What's Canada pushing for there?
Yeah, this is a really interesting development. So this is all happening against the backdrop of the U.S.'s protectionist policies that they have been implemented under Trump. And essentially what Canada has done is come up with a draft for revising the WTO. Now, keep in mind, Trump has talked about potentially withdrawing the U.S. from the World Trade Organization. And I think what Canada is looking to do is to create some unity and some momentum behind sort of a consensus around multilateralism and free trade with or without the U.S.'s involvement in the WTO.
At the same time, trade associations representing U.S. farmers, retailers, and manufacturers are joining forces in a new multi-million-dollar campaign to oppose tariffs from President Trump. Tell us what they're doing and what kind of impact it's going to have, if any.
So this is very interesting, given that the midterms are, you know, coming up very quickly in early November. What it sounds like these groups are doing is that they're banding together to essentially amplify some of the personal stories of businesses and farmers and individuals who have been affected by not necessarily directly Trump's tariffs, but by the retaliation against Trump's tariffs that's been imposed by China. And so I think that this is definitely a dynamic that bears watching. They're working on a lot of the normal reach out that you'd see, a letter to Congress, digital ad campaigns, those sorts of things. And I think that this has the potential to morph into a bit of a campaign issue ahead of the midterms, and I think could potentially influence some people's views as they head to the voting booth.
Bob Woodward's new book on the White House, Fear, has been all the talk in D.C. over the past week. And now we're hearing from former White House economic advisor Gary Cohn and former staff secretary Rob Porter refuting some of the items in that book. I find it interesting that they are saying not true, but they're not saying what's not true.
Yeah, this is a classic Washington non-denial denial, where essentially what, if you read kind of between the lines, what both of them are saying is that overall, it's not an accurate portrayal of, you know, Cohen said his time in the White House. Porter, I think, just strictly called it not accurate. But they didn't go so far as to directly dispute some of the specific things in there. One of the things that come to mind is, you know, the allegation that Cohen actually slipped some papers off of Trump's desk to keep the U.S. from being withdrawn from NAFTA and the South Korean trade agreement. Cohen, I think it's notable he didn't directly dispute that. And so I think that what they're saying is that Woodward didn't paint an overall picture of, you know, their experience in the White House doesn't mesh with the picture that Woodward paints. But that could still be true. And the specific elements in Woodward's book could also be true.
And we're getting a late tweet from President Donald Trump. He says, we got A pluses for our recent hurricane work in Texas and Florida. And then in parentheses, he says, and did an unappreciated great job in Puerto Rico, even though an inaccessible island with very poor electricity and a totally incompetent mayor of San Juan. And then he says, we are ready for the big one that is coming. this is a sort of characteristic of the president, weighing in on his great job and attacking people when another disaster is headed our way.
Yeah, I think it's really striking. You know, he has criticized Puerto Rican officials before for their response while also praising the federal response. You know, I think it's worth noting that he is boasting about what the federal response was in Maria and some of the other natural disasters in 2017, you know, which we know Maria, for instance, killed 3,000 people died in that storm. So I think by some measures, it's hard to talk about that being a success. But I think that it is a bit tricky for Trump because he's kind of following his natural inclination to pat himself on the back. But this is a big variable. Nobody knows what this storm is going to bring and how it's going to test federal resources. And so him being so confident and raising expectations so high heading into it, I think is politically risky.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you very much. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Now 6:55 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. It's a new day at CBS, and investors in the television network are trying to figure out what exactly that means. A tumultuous few months culminated this week with the resignation of longtime CEO Les Moonves amid allegations of sexual harassment by 12 women, including assault and retaliation. The CBS board also experienced a shakeup with the election of 6 new independent directors. They bring a mix of media expertise and takeover experience, perhaps an indication of what comes next for the company. The question is, if CBS is in play, are there any takers, or is there still unfinished business with Viacom? I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Now it's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker.
Small business owners in the U.S. have the tax policy they've been asking for. They have the lineup and regulations they've been looking for, and they have an economy that is humming. What they don't have is the available labor pool. Record optimism among small business in the latest NFIB survey is tempered by job creation. It slowed among small firms in August, perhaps because there were fewer workers available to hire. NFIB economist Bill Dunkelberg says the negative impact of that, for example, can be seen in small firms that build houses.
The demand for housing is quite strong, and the firms that build those houses can't find enough workers to set up crews to go out and build them. And consequently, the result is higher prices.
55% of small business owners in the latest NFIB survey reported few or no qualified applicants for the positions they were trying to fill. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. S&P futures are up 2.5 points right now. Dow futures up 22. NASDAQ futures up 18. The 10-year Treasury up 3/32. Yield 2.96%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.9% or 64 cents at $69.90 a barrel. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow coming up on Bloomberg Radio. And for our listeners in Washington, D.C., Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.